Good morning.
Kind of sounded like Robin Williams, sort of, huh? All right, fine. Good morning. Today is Thursday, August the 13th, 240th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor out of the Fire District. Second District. But could be confused.
Yeah. No
Stealth
kidding.
Fennel.
Good morning, Brian.
That's right. There is still, well, there's the Fire District is kind of gone. Mushed.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that bad a pun. It may not have been that clear, but it wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't bad at all,
I'm having to explain it, so it really is poor.
There were ashes on my car this morning when I got ready to come up here.
Yeah, so?
Take a number.
Our quote this morning comes from Winston Churchill, who said, quote, "A lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get its pants on."
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is a really good one.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
So, how bad is it?
It's bad, Brian. I mean, obviously, things are easing up a little bit at this point. But as Ken Wood said yesterday, recently, the bottom line is that this is very early in the season. I mean, this is just mid-August.
Yeah, he was stressing that when he was here on Friday.
Yeah, that's what I heard him on.
This should be October.
Yeah.
not where we are now. But I can't recall. Now, I only don't go back as far as some do, but a highway being closed for a prolonged period of time due to fire.
With 36 gosh, I talked to some people in the Highway 36 corridor, and they can't either. And it's a little troubling, I was actually getting requests a couple of weeks ago asking, how long is it going to be? Contacted.
I God's talked will,
with
right?
Yeah, right, exactly. I talked with John Fenley, who's the supervisor in Trinity County. I talked with Merv George from U.S. Forest Service. And bottom line, there are very, very extensive fires happening in that area. They have a lot of equipment out right on 36. It's like a section. It's not the whole thing, obviously, but it does stop traffic.
Yeah. You'd shared that you'd been out there. What does it look like to you, other than smoky?
Right. It's pretty impressive to go out there. I was out there, a few days after the lightning struck. And as I pointed out to others, I was at the Incident Command Center. They pointed out that this is the first time that they can remember that 85% of the lightning strikes actually resulted in a fire. Normally it's about 20%. So that tells you how dry everything is, and that's what caused the major problem.
Well, and how much fuel load there is, too.
Exactly.
And that's the thing I want to get on this rant.
Huge deal.
Yeah, I got half a minute. Yeah. That's one of the things that I'm really torqued about with the national media is they're saying fire, drought. It's not fire drought. If there was nothing for it to burn,
exactly,
there'd be no fire. You could have as dry as you. And I just see this almost as mismanagement of the forest and the state lands by past administrations.
And, I got to say, that is a very, very big issue. We had that in the Canoe Honeydew Fire, I remember, when huge redwoods, which are supposed not to burn, were exploding because of the height of the huckleberry bushes, et cetera, underneath them. It was just ridiculous.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennel. So the concept with the fire and the activities that are going on, I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking that are mm-hmm. going on. One of the things that I understand is because it's in the pot farm region is that a lot of the growers are meeting the fire guys with guns and saying, no, we don't want you going out there. Do not, not even, I mean, it may be their property, it may not yes. be their property, but it's that kind of a confrontational thing as well. And I'm thinking fuel load, safety yeah. of the individuals, public, back off, let this thing burn. Put your cut line in 10 mm-hmm. miles away and just let it burn up to that point. If it's going to do it, it's going to do it. You're not going to stop mm-hmm. it anyway.
Yeah.
Don't risk life and certainly don't risk taking a shot.
No, I was at the incident command base, as I said, down in Redway, and one of the, you know, safety messages to firefighters is, you know, you are in an area where this might occur and just be aware of it. So it didn't happen in Humboldt that I'm aware of, but it did happen in Trinity. And I think that the bottom line there is we really need to understand that if people are going to live out in close to the wilderness, especially close to a national forest, those guys are going to let those things burn. Well, now, one could argue that they shouldn't be so ready to just explode like they are because there's such an amount of fuel in there.
But if it's wilderness,
that's what they yeah. say. So if you're going to live near that, that's going to be extremely problematic. I think that we're going to have to look at that from the Fire Safe Council's perspective. I will say that in Humboldt County, where the fires happened, was out where there were some old established ranches. Talked with the Satterleys, the Hoisingtons, the Stewarts were there, the Wilsons, and they were all out on the fire line doing their very best to save the trees that they were counting on for income, basically, you know. And I think that bottom line, they were there was a very, very good working relationship between CAL FIRE and the landowners. So I really want to stress that I had a lot of instances where we had phone calls going back and forth, and it was working very well. That said, there are also people, as you said, who are out there, might be growing marijuana illegally, don't want anybody around. That is really, really short-sighted on their part because, bottom line, life... And life is one of the
priorities.
The priorities for CAL FIRE. They will go out and protect life. So you're putting them.
But these
in
are
that
folks
situation.
That are willing to give people the drugs that can screw up their lives anyway. So I don't think morals is a big concern.
Yeah.
Unless
yeah,
it's screwing up the river or a furry critter.
Yeah.
You know, then they get excited.
Well, I know that there were a couple of areas in Trinity County that are pretty well known for fairly extensive marijuana production, and they were evacuated. So we'll see how well they do.
Yeah, I'm sure they're probably
burned out.
Trinity Village,
where
Mom and Dad have got the cabin, Denny area, they're gone.
Yeah.
Which is really, I mean, you could never, there are some areas in our region that are so vertical in their terrain, you can't get anybody in there anyway.
Yeah, and that's
so the fire is going to do what the fire is going to do, regardless if it's Forest Service or wilderness or state parks or whatever the designation
well,
is.
Well, that exactly was it. You were saying, what was it like out there? It was so obvious that it is a huge challenge with that terrain. Because remember, lightning's more than likely not going to hit in the flat plain. It's going to hit on the mountains.
So I'm going to take out the water tower?
Yeah. So a lot of them are steep terrain, and you've got guys out there, you know, it's all very dramatic. The firefighters arrive, etc. But when you think that this goes on for days on end and the air is thick with, almost you could eat it rather than breathe it. I mean, it's so thick with ash. And you've got guys out there on the line every day, climbing up and down these hills, laying hose, setting backfires. It's grueling work. And I really appreciate the work that they've done. And we need to, as a county, as a state, as a federal government, need to recognize that the work that they do and make it as safe for them as possible. you know. And again, the fuel load is a really big deal.
Yeah, there's some things you can do today. There's some things you have to do next year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, another thing too, Brian, I was on my way over to Sacramento for a meeting right when these fires started. And at that point, the fire in Clear Lake had started. And that was huge. I mean, that just...
It's kind of twisted me a little bit that Clear Lake's getting all this attention. Yeah, we've got raging Oregon. I heard the Oregon fire now starting to get a little attention.
And so Washington has huge fires. So, you know, basically it's the West Coast.
Well, what do they call us? The Ring of Fire anyway?
Yeah, right. So,
just a little, yeah, it's not molten by this time. It's just a little.
I do think, you know, driving, one of the things that has happened is with all of the air quality regulations, et cetera, there's much less slash burn that happens nowadays. And I think back to, you know, many, many years ago.
And
I
used to clear the property and you'd have a slash burn.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So maybe we've gone a little too far. I don't think we can compost all that stuff.
Well, remember, these were all natural fires, or most of them, so that's the way the natural flow goes, and how we handle it is our big challenge.
Well, now let's use the same philosophy towards gravel and water.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right. How much do you micromanage it?
Exactly. Yeah, or let it go natural. KINS, News and Information Time is it.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell out of the 2nd District in Humboldt County. Yes. Estelle, it's tough for me still. I'm not vacillating around marijuana, but I find it really goofy that we're doing all this stuff for something that's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, great. I understand, you know, you anticipate, you have your game plan ready, so when it becomes legal, boom. But when California legalizes it, it still doesn't make it legal. Yeah, and that dichotomy that law enforcement has had to deal with for a long time, and some of the legacy that we've had here, too.
Yeah.
If you have to grow 3 plants, can't you do that in a 10-by-10-foot area? Why do you need a 3-acre minimum for 3 plants? Of those types of things,
yes.
Or being able to broker my grow card, or I guess it's, you know, the 215 card, but basically it's a grow card. My grow card to you, and you give it to somebody else, and now pretty soon somebody's growing gazillion.
Yeah.
That transferability seems like it would be illegal as all get out also.
I agree. And I think that's why at this point, you know, myself and Supervisor Sundberg are on the marijuana subcommittee or ad hoc committee. And, you know, I think both of us have kind of a similar take in that we just recognize that something's got to be done. I know that Sheriff Downey is on that page at this point, too. The 215, which gives you an argument in court that you have the right to medicinal marijuana, is so poorly written that there's all sorts of ways that it can be worked with. And so what's happened is that people have found million loopholes to work with and made it basically a legal defense. So what's happening now at a state level is that we're, you know, getting closer and closer to being in the same position as Colorado and Washington and Oregon. And so how do we manage that? And in the meantime, we have the federal government still saying that this is a Schedule I drug. So it's, as you say, it's illegal on the
federal level. But not prosecuting it.
but not prosecuting it. How do you manage to make sure that you don't have the kind of impact on the environment that we're having right now because of everything going haywire? How do you manage to cut down on the crime associated with home invasions and all that kind of stuff? Well, you start to figure out a way that you can at least draw a bright line and say, this is just not going to fly. And the sheriff has said that he will at least concentrate on these larger grows, and we've seen some of that, and it's been welcomed by all and sundry, I would say. You know, it's not just, I've heard people who are very supportive of marijuana legalization being very, very critical of the kind of growing that's happening.
But will that be prosecuted by the feds?
You can do all the work. $64 million question.
All the work in the world you want, mm-hmm. and if it's not going to go anywhere, it's not going to go anywhere, and you're wasting your time, and, mm-hmm. you know, to use another analogy, let's just build a wall, and everybody inside the wall can grow to their heart's content. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, and regular folks won't go in there.
Well, I think, you know, talking about that build a wall, we all know what that really
is. I have yet to
say
his name on air yet.
You have?
Not yet, but I'm using that as an analogy. I think that person
that shall remain nameless at the moment has made a very strong case across this United States. I think he's basically personifying where a lot of people feel there is a problem, and that is there are no bright lines.
Everything's bright lines.
Just make it clear. And I think that's what people are feeling when things are mushy like this, and you feel like you put your foot in there and you could get trapped. And this is one way or the other, whether you're a law enforcement agent who is tasked with enforcing the law, or you're somebody who believes that marijuana should be legalized and you want to grow it. No matter who you are, you don't have a clear situation.
Where is CSAC on this?
CSAC is in support of, I think that they are in support of what we came out with as the six counties, which is, you know, local control, clarity above all, protection of youth, all of those things that are included in the North Coast policy statement.
Were you able to drag the U.S. Attorney General's office along with it? So that there is the prosecutorial element associated with it, and you don't have county by county going goofy or the state saying, we're not going to do it. It seems like there's that whole end of the continuum called, I guess, either responsibility or, responsibility for your actions. Well, if there's no punishment, if there's no real risk associated with it, it's all reward, why not?
Being stupid
if you don't.
Yeah. Right. I mean, there's people out there who are just taking advantage of all of that. You know, I went to Sacramento the first week of our vacation, went out there for a meeting that was sponsored by Fiona Ma and George Runner of the Board of Equalization, and they were talking about banking. This is an area where the federal state friction, it really rubs, and their issue was how can banks handle money that is a side effect, if you will, of this black market.
If you show up with too much cash,
and the board
triggers all kinds of things,
right? And so the Board of Equalization at this moment is taking money from, you know, we're talking about dispensaries here in Humboldt. You go down to L.A. and there are gigantic dispensaries in the same
machines.
And huge, huge money machines. And they are now able to go into Sacramento with a big bag of money and give it to the Board of Equalization. And the banks can't do that. There's too many regulations on the state, on the federal level. And what I'm very, very proud of the Southern Humboldt Community Credit Union who were there in Sacramento giving testimony saying, look, you have all of these regulations. We shouldn't be the ones to have to enforce those. You've got to bite it and take care of this.
Sounds like water regulations. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. So, Estelle, yesterday you guys were dealing a little bit with some of the marijuana and land use.
Dispensaries. We dealt with dispensaries.
Well, same thing for a lot of zoning. Well, zoning is zoning, I think, for a lot of us.
Right.
Is there a different standard for these, for this niche than there is for liquor stores or for anybody else? Or is there the opportunity to take some of that, let's say liquor stores, and there will be X number in our county.
Yes, that's what we did.
Limit it, set it up. Mm-hmm. There is the oversight, the heavy regulation, the heavy over, and just do it that way.
That's what we started yesterday. We decided on 15. That would be 5 per region, 5 in the north, 5 in the central, and 5 in the south. They're all subject to conditional use permit, which means they got to go through the planning commission. They're very, very strict regulations, more, I believe, than on a liquor store. So it's going to be, you know, anybody who gets past all of that will have had to do a lot of work.
So why isn't the state stepping up and doing the same darn thing they are with liquor licenses with this? As it shouldn't be county by county, because again, that's getting into the 99 plants argument.
Right. Well,
this is what it is, statewide gang. This is what we do. A license is worth X number of hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, whatever the marketplace goes with. And we're going to only have X number in the state for the state's health.
Well, what we are basically trying to work with the state. I know that. Supervisor Sundberg and I are going to be talking with some of the legislators behind AB 266 later on this week. What we're trying to do is make sure that local jurisdictions retain our right to land use regulation and business licensing. Everything else with regard to marijuana, we want the state to take it on. We want to talk about testing, quality, protection of kids, all of these things.
Does the county now have any influence on the number of liquor licenses that there are?
You know that I don't have a good answer for that one. I know that we have a certain number. Is that a state mandated number? I'm not sure.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.